Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Influencer Marketing Talks, a podcast brought to you by Cure Media, the leading and award-winning influencer marketing agency, helping brands grow since 2014. This is your bi-weekly podcast to learn more on the latest consumer behavior, innovative marketing strategies, and all things influencer marketing in right around 15 minutes. My name is Isabel Green, and in this episode, we're joined by Søren Møhr, who brings a wealth of experience in management, marketing, and sales, covering both traditional and digital platforms. Søren today works at Nestlé and has recently focused his efforts into the field of AI. At Nestlé, he's a Nordic media digital and AI manager, meaning that he leads initiatives to implement and apply AI technologies into a practical setting and showcasing the impact of AI. And most importantly, actually getting the employees to use AI. Søren also founded the company Elevate, where he helps companies in integrating AI into their operations. Hi, Søren, and welcome to this podcast. Could you maybe start by introducing yourself and what you do today?
Hi, Isabel, and thank you for having me here. My name is Søren Møhr, and I'm the AI lead at Nestlé Nordics. I also have a small consultancy called Elevate. It's an AI consultancy helping people getting onboarded to AI. So that's a very short version.
So in other words, we can say you're an AI expert.
I really hate that word, but I'm an AI enthusiast, you can say.
That was a nice way of saying it.
Yeah.
So today, obviously, we're going to speak about AI. And in your work as a consultant and in your experience, what are kind of the key indicators you can see that an organization is ready to adapt into AI and adapt that into its marketing strategies?
So that's more for the general management, also on a department level that you're asking. I mean, it's obvious that some companies, they completely ban AI, and then other companies are open towards AI. And I think one very vital part is that we have a management team that are open towards AI, and I understand that there's a huge potential in embracing AI and adopting AI in the organization. They also acknowledge that it's a huge process. It's not only a feng shui, nice to have thing we need to paint green in one of the meeting rooms because then we're more efficient. This is a groundbreaking thing like the smartphone or the internet when it came.
And then there's always a change process, getting everyone kind of on board when introducing a new process or a new system into an organization. And I think we've all seen this graph of the early adopters, the late majority, and the rest. But how does this process normally look when you work with an organization?
Well, in the most optimal way, it's a five-step process where I usually have step one is kind of a, you can call it a manifest, you know, being in the creative industry, where the management team will explain how they back AI and how they see the importance of AI and that it should be adopted in the organization and that they're also willing to invest time and resources in it. And then step two is an introduction phase where you will do a more of a introduction to what is AI and why and how will it impact the way we work, the structural impact, but also what kind of tools and AI tools that are relevant for your industry and the different departments, and then maybe also go into some use cases. So that's more an introduction part. And then the next step three is the analysis part, and that's more where you go into different departments. For instance, now we're talking in marketing, you go into marketing and you analyze the different processes that are in the marketing, try to match them with AI, and then kind of do a prioritization where you have a kind of an impact score and then prioritize a few processes that you will start out with applying AI to. And then step four is where you then formulate that, okay, we're going to focus on task A, B, and C, And we're going to have this starter pack consisting of two or three AI tools. And then you will also have training and budget for that. And then the final stage is the onboarding stage, where you will have proper training. So that's the most optimal part. And then you have all sorts of different variants of this when you talk to organizations, depending on the size of the organization or the company and budget and resources, etc.
And I know there's a lot of talk about right now with the adoption of AI, and kind of the skill sets in a marketing department are obviously bound to change because you can get a lot of help with AI. And I can just look at myself in my own role, how much more efficient I am with it, AI, and how much help I can get from mostly I use ChatGPT. But how do you kind of see AI reshaping that skill set required within marketing teams?
It's a really good question. I think it's extremely important for the management team to really foster an openness in the organization towards AI. Because what I see is a lot of people, in the beginning, they feel like they're cheating and they're keeping it to themselves, you know, how they actually use AI in their work. And I think it's really important that you're open, that you talk to your colleagues and that you talk to, you know, friends in other companies, and that, because we learn together in that way. Because, I mean, I think many of these AI tools is like you get the most incredible tool ever, like, you know, ChatGPT-4, but you don't get a manual on how to actually use it. So every time I, you know, talk to guys like you or to companies, then I also get ideas on how to actually use the tool that I share then with my colleagues. So it's a constant learning journey, you can say. And I think we need to be open and share the good use cases that we stumble upon with colleagues and friends.
For sure. And I love that about, like, in your role, that your role is to share it with the company and you're kind of the spokesperson for AI. But obviously, most companies do not have someone like you always keeping it top of mind and top of the agenda. And do you think it's the company's responsibility to make sure everyone's using AI, or is it up to each person themselves to learn about AI and how to use it?
I think it's a company responsibility. I think it's like, you know, if you had a company where the internet could be really useful in the 90s, and you were like, okay, it's up to, you know, the employees to find out how to use it. That would be kind of stupid. I mean, if because there is a great potential. So I think it's in the interest of the management team to actually adopt AI and also tell about the potential to the employees. But again, I mean, it's a continue. One thing is to go through the process that I just described, but when you get to the final stage, the onboarding stage, it's not just a two-hour session. It's a continuous training and an onboarding session, or not an onboarding session, but a training session or training process. I mean, I started in January, kind of January last year in 2023 at Nestlé, and I started with inspirational sessions, one, two, three of them for the marketing department, and I was like, okay, now they're onboarded to AI and they probably start using it, and they didn't. So now we have all sorts of different activities going on each month in order to, you know, get people onboarded to AI, but also elevate their use of AI. So I think it's in the interest of the company. And back to your question also, I mean, I think it's important that you put down a task force. And if you don't have resources to do that, then maybe one dedicated person like we have had at Nestlé. And then maybe get help from the outside, because there are some AI consultancies that can help companies getting on board to AI. But actually at Nestlé, we have just moved away from, I mean, it was me fooling around the first couple of months in 2023. And then I created different models, frameworks, etc. And then now we're moving into we actually have a task force, a working task force, because we have 1,600 employees in the Nordics, and I can't do it on my own.
No, obviously. And I mean, as you say, it's up to the management to make sure to kind of have those prompts or instructions ready, how to maximize it for their team. Because I can just think that it's different from how marketing uses AI, how tech uses AI, You can even program and use AI. So there's a lot of different ways to use it and not just like one manual that one person can write.
Exactly. I'm coming from marketing, and I mean, I actually spend a lot of time by the coffee machine talking to people. And I mean, when I talk to IT people or programmers, I mean, they were very fast at adopting AI because it saves them a lot of time. So I think it's so obvious that it, you know, especially in some fields, it's very helpful and it's saving you time. And in other fields, it's just enhancing the quality of what you do.
Yeah. So what would you say then are the common pitfalls when adopting AI for marketing departments, but also if you have any other learnings, and how can these pitfalls be avoided?
Well, I want to maybe rewind a bit, because one model that is very important to me is I also have this AI adoption funnel. And I think that's vital when we talk about the management team adopting AI. I just said that the final stage in this AI adoption framework, which is the onboarding. I mean, we know we have the sales funnel when we work with marketing, with the AIDA model, etc. And I've created a similar model with four stages when it comes to adopting AI, where we have the top level where we're creating awareness to AI, where people are like, wow, this is huge. It's going to have a huge impact on the industry, etc. But it's just an inspirational session. It's a one-off session and everyone is, you know, going back, talking to their husband, kids, etc. But that's it. But then we need to find out how to get them down to the next level where they're like, okay, now I can see how there are some different interesting tools for the marketing. Let's say if we're just using the marketing as an example, and they kind of get an idea of which tools they can actually use. And then they get down to the third level where they're like, okay, now I understand which tools I can actually use for my everyday work. But they haven't started using it yet. And that's the final level where we get down to where they actually start using. So I think each company, they need to have their own AI adoption funnel. I mean, I just have the template, but they need to fill out, okay, how do we get the people through the funnel to the final stage where they say, okay, I use it several times a day or several times a week, depending on the company. I think that's vital for all this. So a common pitfall would be not to acknowledge that there is this AI adoption funnel.
Yeah. And I know that you spoke about before we started recording the podcast that you also have a 5-step prompt model that you give out to the employees at Nestlé. And yeah. I feel like that can also be an easy way for companies to kind of make people start using AI more and just handing them over a little how to.
Exactly. And I mean, it's so, I think it's important to keep it really simple. Yeah, I have, I mean, as I said, I started with doing inspirational sessions. I fell into the rabbit hole. So I have done several of these inspirational sessions and I got frustrated because people did not apply these tools. And then I also found out that it's a huge change management process. I also talked to McKinsey and other change management consultancies and they had the same picture of it. So then I created this 5-step prompt model, and I use it in every session. For instance, at Nestlé, we have NestGPT, and it's a enterprise solution from OpenAI. So it's ChatGPT internally in a safe environment. And every time I do sessions, I do it every second month and also some in between. And I use this 5-step prompt model. So when I go into marketing, I find out, you know, tons of different examples of how we can use it in NestGPT, but I use the prompt model for each example. And I think that was kind of the turning point because people walked up to me by the coffee machine, as I just mentioned before. I was like, okay, now I understand how to use NestGPT and AI in my daily work. So I think that's that was a turning point internally at Nestlé.
A really easy tool, but could also really make a difference. So it's tips for
exactly,
other companies.
Exactly. But you talked about the AI policy, the pitfalls. I think it's very important that companies have or marketing departments and also companies have an AI policy. And I'm not talking about a 20 pages long document, But just, you know, to have like do's and don'ts, this is a marketing podcast, so now let's focus on marketing. Because, I mean, I talk to some marketing managers and they're like, okay, there's no chance that we're going to pay, you know, for photographers and models and then, you know, pay like 1 million SEK, krona, or DKK to have an image bank and pay for copyrights, etc., and model rights. We'll just create it by, you know, using Midjourney or Adobe Firefly and create the models, etc. And I think that's the people that are very open towards AI and can see, okay, we're going to save a lot of money on this. But I think it's very important to stay true to your brand. And also you say, okay, is this, but would it be really on brand to use AI models in our communication? I mean, I just saw this, it was actually a TV commercial from a company, a Polish company, and it was 100% AI doing this. And at, I mean, at the current stage where we're at with text to video, the quality was not that good. I mean, if you applied all sorts of different other tools to it and you had a professional doing it, it could be good. But this was a really bad example. And that was not on brand. So I think it's important to have an AI policy with do's and don'ts and really simple, you know, like just with the do's, you know, always check the output that you get from it. You also know it from your daily work. But also, I mean, agree on a starter pack, you know, that we will only use these three tools and get proper training for it. And then don'ts, yep, it could be. I know that, for instance, both Nestlé and L'Oréal, they have that text to image is not okay for consumer facing at this current time. So I think it's important to have that kind of really simple kind of policies and rules in place, but again, simple and easy accessible and easy understandable.
Yeah, and I know kind of another area that we're talking a lot about with our customers right now, it's creativity within marketing, and I mean, companies now need to go that extra mile really to make their campaigns creative and capture the attention of the audience. And I think we've all heard and felt ad blindness a couple of times. And I know it's in my backbones when I, as soon as I see an ad, I just swipe by. But can AI in marketing lead to kind of new forms of creativity and engagement with the customers? And in that case, how?
Definitely. I mean, several examples. I think if you use a large language model like ChatGPT or Perplexity or whatever you want to use, you can use it for ideation, you know, brainstorming, get campaign ideas. And it sounds really simple and not very advanced. But if you use it for ideation and you prompt it in the right way using the five-step prompt model that I created, then you will also get some good output. And if, for instance, if you ask for ideation and you ask for 10 ideas or 15 ideas, then maybe, I don't know, seven of the ideas is like, okay, yeah, what we've already thought about that. But then you're like, okay, these two or three ideas, that's actually really interesting. And then you can, you know, prompt back to ChatGPT and ask it to elaborate on these ideas or even, you know, create similar ideas based on these three ideas, and it sounds really simple, but actually it's something I think sometimes we tend to forget. We want to advance our use with ChatGPT, but actually it's in the basics that there are really some gems, I think. And actually I just listened to this podcast interview, Lex Friedman, he interviewed Sam Altman, and he was actually pinpointing, you know, that he was actually using a lot for ideation and brainstorm, and he really saw that, you know, that it was a good way to use it. But I also think that, I mean, just in your daily work, that both your client and you could use ChatGPT as a sparring partner to enhance the quality of a meeting. Could be an evaluation meeting, or it could also be when you are going to, you know, talk about ideas to actually enhance the quality of the meeting. And but finally, I also think that I guess you have seen Sora, this new text to video tool that just came out in January from OpenAI. They announced it and now it's being tested. And I think just a few days ago, new videos actually came out from Sora, this new text to image tool, or text to video tool. And I think there was a really interesting discussion going on because they said, in their perspective, we shouldn't try to replicate the world as we know it, but we should actually use these tools to create some abstract and, you know, creative videos. And just an example, one of the videos going around now on social media is with a balloon guy, you know, traveling around in a city on a bicycle, and his head is a yellow balloon, and he's talking, and it's actually really neat. So I think when Sora and other tools are out there, I think it's that way we should actually try to explore creativity in a different way, and not try to replicate something we already know.
And I love kind of when a company combines AI with reality. I know here in Stockholm where I'm sitting, and NYX, the makeup company, they did an AI video of a helicopter flying in with a purple duck over a park here, Södertälje. And then I walked past because it's quite close to the office, and they also had the duck there. So it's like, from the video, you could see it flying around, and then in real life, it feels like it actually was flying around and then landed. And they even had a guard and everything guarding it. But it was fun to see like the world of AI and the real world also meet in a campaign.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm not a creative, but I just think that there was some truth to that. And it makes sense that, you know, that you get a new kind of tool that you can create something that you haven't been able to create before. I mean, in terms of creativity, or you could do it, but then you should use a lot of different tools and hours on it. And now maybe in a few months we have Sora and similar tools.
Yeah. Exciting to see just where AI will be in a year. No one knows.
Yeah, I mean, and also now, I mean, you need to stop me here, but I think a couple of weeks ago, I mean, Midjourney came with this character consistency, and that's, I also think that's interesting. Yeah. Of course, I just said that we shouldn't, maybe a company shouldn't create AI models, but maybe a company could consider to create, you know, two or three models that they use based on Midjourney in different settings, because that's actually doable now.
Yeah. So to summarize, I always like this question, but do you have three key points that you want the listeners to take away from this episode?
Well, I think one of the most important one is to acknowledge that that AI adoption is a continuous process. So don't just think that you can tick the box with hiring a guy like me to do an inspirational session for 1.5-2 hours for the board and the management team. That's not enough. But also, I mean, use the AI adoption funnel as a central kind of model for the company. Visit it, revisit it, you know, try to create your own AI adoption funnel for the company, also for different departments, and make sure that you invest time and money in getting people through the funnel. And I also think of course, there are different sizes of company, but it is good to have a dedicated person or task force to run it internally. And if it's just one person, then the person should have some kind of budget so he or she can get assistance from external consultants. So that's kind of the three one. But the most important one is that AI is a continuous process.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And if the listeners want to know more about AI or see your adoption funnel or your five prompts guide, where can they turn to?
Well, I mean, they can reach out to me on LinkedIn, of course. It's really easy. Go to YouTube. I mean, there are so many tutorials. I mean, you can watch a tutorial on 7 minutes and on how to use Pika Labs for text to video, and then you can go into Pika Labs. The same with Adobe Flyify. It's kind of like the Matrix in the good old days, that that you can get hooked up in a couple of minutes and then you're ready to go for Adobe Flyify or some other tools. But of course, also, I mean, sign up for newsletters like Superhuman, The Neuron, Everyday in AI. Go to X, follow guys talking about AI, LinkedIn also. I personally follow people on LinkedIn. As soon as you like a LinkedIn post a couple of times, then the algorithm will help you on your AI journey. so that's actually it's and to me personally, I write about it, but I'm also very open and reach out to people globally. Because there's not enough information, I think, just in Denmark about all this. And as I said, we're all on this AI adoption journey together, constantly learning. So
I think that was a nice ending point, that we're all in it together and we need to learn from each other because it's so new. So no one can be an expert and have several years of knowledge, but we're all learning every day. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining this episode. And it was great to speak to you and also learn more about AI.
Well, thank you for having me. It was good to talk to you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Influencer Marketing Talks. To stay current with our latest podcast episode, the latest consumer marketing trends, and insightful updates on social media and influencer marketing, make sure to follow us on our social platforms at Cure Media.